Welcome to Throwing Light. This is episode 19, Spiral Dynamics. And before we get into the heart of it, two things. First, I may have mentioned I have a Patreon account. It helps me pay for the minor fees that come with creating, hosting a podcast. Yeah, if you're digging this podcast, that would be amazing if you could support me. Oh, and the other thing is I'm feeling like my nervous energy is at an all-time high right now. And I'm not exactly sure why. I just started grad school and I went from essentially being on my own home with just my kids for most of the days to 4 or 5 days a week being in a classroom or in an internship. And what happens is I do really well when I'm in class or in the internship. Like I'm 100% on, I'm 100% present, and I am just giving it my all. And then when it's over, I am shaky and exhausted. I have been struggling a little bit with panic attacks or anxiety attacks. I'm not sure. So if I sound more nervous than I usually do, which is saying a lot, that's why. I'm like figuring it all out. And I've been doing a lot of meditation and inner work. So anyway, that didn't have anything to do with the podcast. It's just where I'm at right now. And also, if you're feeling that way too, it's the start of school, so a lot of people are. You're not alone, and I'm right there with you. And so let's get onto it. But before we, well, let's almost get onto it. I did want to say shout out to people who are recovering from Irma and Harvey. My parents live in Florida, and they actually live in a community that was hit pretty hard. And they're okay, they're safe, but the community, as I understand it, is going to take a while to bounce back. They're my parents, and so that's been really emotional for me, and so that's probably also adding to my anxiety. So the actual episode, the heart of it, I am obsessed with this thing called spiral dynamics. I heard about it several years ago, and since I started the Throwing Light podcast, I've wanted to do a spiral dynamics episode. But to be quite honest, the more research I did, the more I was kind of hesitant to do one. And so I've been kind of engulfed in nothing but research and resources and people who study it for the past several weeks. And I still love it. And I think it has the potential to be life-changing. It's a model of developmental psychology, the way in which humans individually and collectively evolve, I guess. And I feel like the research is solid and I feel like it explains a lot. Couple caveats before we get into what it actually is and the actual model. Also, it's super heady and some people are gonna like love this episode. If you live in your head, if you like philosophical stuff, you're probably gonna really love this. But some people are not gonna love it. There's a lot of information and it is complicated, and I'm not like a spiral dynamics expert. This is coming from someone who is largely just learning this stuff too. So, okay, my main issue with spiral dynamics is that most, if not all, of the creators or developers, researchers, were white men who may have lacked awareness about their privilege and their place in the world. You know, then again, I think that's true of so much of the research of psychological, philosophical, scientific models that we take for granted as true. Or at least if there were women and minorities involved, as in the case of like Hidden Figures, which was a really excellent movie, they didn't get their names published in the research. Anyway, that's patriarchy. So my other hesitation, okay, the model was originally developed by a man named Claire Graves, whom we'll talk about in a minute, and his students, Don Beck and Christopher Cohen, went on to publish a book called Spiral Dynamics in the 90s, I think. And they made the research much more well-known. I think Graves passed away before he could publish the research. And so that's kind of why it's not super well-known. And as I understand it, Beck started working with a man named Ken Wilber, really problematic. It just gives me pause that Ken Wilber is mixed up with spiral dynamics research. Patriarchal, sexist, racist undertones to some of the interviews that I was watching. So I say all that because I can't not. I think that spiral dynamics is really, really cool, but it felt wrong not to share this ahead of time. I will say that I know none of these men personally, as you probably already know, and I would be thrilled to be proven wrong. And regardless of their personal flaws, which we all have, spiral dynamics seems legit and really well-researched. So anyway, Claire Graves. As the story goes, he was a buddy of Abraham Maslow, who created Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And if you are in a place where you can Google Maslow's hierarchy of needs, that would be helpful for you probably right now. It starts with like food, shelter, then it goes on to like love, connection, and then like the top of the pyramid is self-actualization. So supposedly, after studying the hierarchy of needs, Graves asked the question, what does self-actualization mean? So he did a study asking people over the course of like 50 years, I think, 20 years, I'm not sure. That will be in the show notes. How do you define a healthy person? So he asked the same people over a period of at least several years, more than 10, less than 50. What he found was that the answers didn't always change, but when they did change, they changed in a predictable pattern. Another study was about abortion. And so what he did was he asked women, is it morally acceptable? Is it okay for women to have an abortion? And what he found was they consistently gave one of three answers. The first was, yep, it's my body and I should be able to do what I want with it. The second answer was, no, it's killing a baby and that's wrong. And it's always wrong. And then the third answer was, no, but there are some exceptions. And what he found was, so if you were at no, but sometimes it does make sense, you wouldn't go back to no, it's always wrong. And if you were at a no, it's always wrong, you wouldn't go back to yes, because I said so. And so he used these studies and this research to create a model of the way that we grow and how we see things when we're in different stages. So each level is assigned a color. And the colors, I think, were given to make it more egalitarian, because what can be problematic can become problematic is you try to figure out where you are in the spiral. And then you start putting other people in the spiral and you inevitably, they're either behind you or ahead of you, or, you know, it creates a hierarchy. And there are definitely certain levels that don't like hierarchies. So I'm going to use the color. So the first color is beige. For an individual, this would be like the baby to toddler stage, so 0 to 3. It's all about my survival. So I have a quote here, express self automatically so as to meet the basic philosophical needs, food, warmth, reproduction. That's from the Jessica and Don Beck YouTube. So it's basic survival. It's, if I'm in beige, I'm not conscious of really anybody else, other than if they can help me, you know, basic food, warmth. That's where we all start. And that's kind of uniquely human. We come into the world as babies and we're not self-sufficient. And if we didn't have somebody to take care of us and provide us with the food and warmth and nourishment and love that we need, we'll never make it to the next level. We'll probably not make it. So there are people, adults, who are still in this realm. Like, I would say people who have severe mental illnesses, people in extreme, extreme poverty. They are kind of stuck in beige meme. And I think when we see that, that's why it feels so heartbreaking, because we know we're supposed to evolve and grow. And it's not fair when people are stuck in that space. So the thing about these levels is that you start in beige and you may move up on the spiral, but you still have beige inside of you. You still have all of the stages or levels inside of you. If somebody points a gun to your head, you're going to go beige, you know, fight or flight. We all have the means and ability to shrink back into survival mode. So as far as society's collective, this basic survival beige began to emerge about 100,000 years ago, according to the research. Now, from beige, you move to purple. And that happened as a society about 50,000 years ago. I read something about in order to move on to a new level, you had to have a crisis that the level you're in doesn't solve. And so you have to kind of move on to the next level. For us as individuals, it's about 4 to 6 years old. This is the magic stage. This is Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy. You start to become aware that there are other people in your, it's tribal. So it's not just individual survival, it's tribal survival, but you're not really aware of other tribes. So the lesson of purple is being unconditionally accepted. As a society, this is when we started doing rites of passage. Groups become more organized and more sophisticated, and people begin to make connections. So like, if there's a full moon, then this will happen. It's a very healthy, natural stage of development. But it's you start to see like the rain coming down, and you start to see like all these outside forces, and you don't control them. And you think that something is controlling them way far away, and you have to appease the gods. And so you start sacrificing child sacrifice and really like bloody, crazy things that don't make any sense to us, but was a natural, healthy part of us moving from basic survival, the survival of the individual, to the survival of the community. Eventually, though, we don't like to only focus on the needs of the group, and so you will move into red. Red is like people broke free. They were like, I don't want to be a part of these rites. The first to break free were like the stronger ones, the faster ones. And they were like, I don't want to share my food and grain with all the other people in the tribe. Like, I worked hard to get this. Fuck you. And it's very bloody, violent. I will take what's mine. The world is a jungle where the strongest and most cunning survive. It's feudal empires, it's gangs, it's the Wild West. They need dragons to slay. And if there aren't dragons to slay, according to this YouTube video, the Jessica and Don Beck one, they will go and find them. It's anarchy. So you move into red and you're like, I'm going to kill you if you don't give me what I want. And after a while, you know, that becomes unsustainable because you start to hurt the people that you actually do care about. So as a society, as individuals, we shift into the blue meme, which according to the research started about 5,000 years ago. The blue meme created organized religion. The blue meme looked at red and thought, oh shit, like this can't go on. So we're going to have to put down some systems. And what happens as you go up the spiral, it moves from individual, yourself-focused, to a tribal, group-focused, and then it moves back to individual with red, and then it moves back into group-focused. So it does that throughout the whole spiral. That's the theme. So blue is group, collective-focused. It's like people are inherently evil, and we have to, it's law. It's the law of the book. So let me back up. So red starts to become aware that there are other tribes and goes out to conquer the other tribes. Once you get to blue, though, you start to realize that you can't just kill all the other tribes. You have to work with them in some capacity, but it's still inherently distrust the other tribes. So Blue created, organized religion. Our big religions today have a very blue center. It's the idea of if you're not with us, you're against us. And so we'll still kill you if we have to, but we're going to do it in a way where there's organization and law and I'm not hurting my own people and you're sacrificing for the greater good. So the primary lesson of Red is to put your stake in the ground and stand up for yourself. This is a very important lesson. This is, and by the way, Red is often like where teenagers are. You have to go through Red. We developmentally, according to this theory, have to go through, it might not all be bloody and killing, and ideally it's not, but we have to go through this to realize that we have worth and we actually matter apart from the tribe. I absolutely think the people who find themselves in purple have to move into red. They have to stand up and say, fuck you. You know, like saying fuck you is a part of our human development is what I'm trying to say. So the main lesson of blue is there's something bigger than yourself. So after blue is orange. And according to the research, it started about 300 years ago when the plague came through Europe. People felt that the priests and the churches were not protecting them, and that gave rise to the Enlightenment period. The scientific method, Wall Street, it's about manipulation. Mastery will like scam you to get money, but we recognize that killing is wrong because we've gone through blue and we have a sense of the greater good. So it's capitalism, corporate states, it's a marketplace full of possibilities and opportunities. What happens, at least within Christianity, you get mega churches. So someone who's orange, creating systems to optimize and lead people who are blue. So Christianity, as I understand, not all Christians, but largely conservative, traditional Christianity is blue. And some have argued that even Buddhism, as a major religion, is very like law-based and very blue. Orange starts to question the book and even the sacrifice for the greater good. It's like, but what's in it for me? We live in a capitalistic, very orange society in the U.S. where I live. And it's all about the marketplace. It's all about Wall Street. But it's optimistic. It's let's put a man on the moon. The major lesson is there's no reason to limit ourselves. However, eventually that becomes unsustainable. The natural resources of our Earth start to run out, or we've made all the money that we can make in 5 lifetimes. And it's kind of that like, what's after this? You move from orange to green and you move back over into the group collective side. Green started, according to the research, about 150 years ago. It is tolerance, coexist, Burning Man, equality. It's postmodern. It emphasizes human rights. It's humanistic and communal. Everyone has a place at the table. Everyone's voice matters. Share is a big word. It's hippies. It's make love, not war. Letting go of rank and hierarchy. I would say it's Black Lives Matter. It's letting go of materialism, redistribution of resources, egalitarianism. It's, I would say, probably if you're watching this, I keep saying watching. What's that about? Largely, if you're listening to this podcast, I would bet that a lot of us have a strong green center. The big lesson of green is reciprocity. It's give and take, and in a way that is not manipulative. So once you move from green, you go to the next level, which is yellow, and that moves into this. So all of these from beige to green is the first tier of the spiral. Moving into yellow, you get to the first part of the second tier. And the second tier, it's so theoretical because, I mean, essentially we haven't gotten there yet. Human development-wise, we just don't know what they look like. So anybody who's studying this stuff is just, it's all just theory. But theoretically, from green, you would shift to yellow. Yellow is back toward the individual. Yellow has learned the lessons of green, but recognizes that not every voice is helpful. They're able to talk to all the other levels in a way that, so in the first tier, you look forward with fear, you look back with disgust. So a green looks at a blue with disgust, with disdain, with how can you think that way? A blue looks at green with fear. How can you think that way? And once you get to the second tier, you start to recognize the value of all of the different levels. And there are important lessons. There's value in every level. I think one of the challenges of creating a model like this is that the person creating the model could be a blue or an orange or a green and not have, you know, the ability to not look forward with fear or back with disgust. I mean, these aren't personalities. It's not like the way that you are is the way that you'll always be. It's ideally, I think we are made to transform. Turquoise, which is the highest level that we're going to talk about, is the idea and the belief that we are one. Literally and figuratively, we are one. I don't know, like depending on whether you want to take this into a spiritual place, you can think about we can plug into like the source or human consciousness. And so some commentary, Jesus and Mother Teresa and Gandhi and those kind of like really amazing human beings. My own theory that I haven't done any research on is that these individuals, and there are many, many more, are higher along on the spiral. And they come like to show us that there's more coming. We as a society are in a transition, I think, moving from orange society to a green society. And that's a good thing, I think. Progress is good. But I think it was the Refuge podcast. She said, every transition on a macro level has been bloody. So when we as a society move from red to blue or blue to orange or now orange to green, it's not been pretty. We have to learn as a society how to evolve and transition without killing each other. What is, I think, encouraging about the spiral dynamics model is that that's the direction that we're going. Like once you get to the second tier, I think it starts to get less bloody. I watched this thing on Steve Jobs and Bill Gates, and it seems like Bill Gates really, like he had like all the money that he could ever want, and he had built his legacy and his fortune from a systems and capitalism and optimism. But then he made so much money that he was like, what am I going to do with all this? So he's shifted into like philanthropy and he's moved to green. He's moved to making the world a better place. Oh, and the other thing about green, like I spoke very highly of green, but I did want to say that the essential problem of green is that, so Occupy Wall Street was a very green movement. They think that all voices matter, so they don't have leaders. And you can't get anything done if you don't have a leader. I think that's it. I hope it was helpful. I'm interested to know what you think. You know, this stuff is fascinating to me, and I could talk about it all day, and I have been to my family's chagrin. But if you are a spiral dynamics geek as much as I am, I'd love to talk to you. For the break for verses today, I wanted to read a journal I wrote. Here it is, your break for verses. January 18th, 2009. This day has been better. Thank you, Lord, for that. I think that I need to fast from sermons, not on Sundays, but during the week. Sometimes I think my faith gets too much in my head and not enough in my heart. 1 week, 2 weeks, a month. MLK Day is tomorrow, and then President-elect Obama's inauguration is on Tuesday. Wow, nervous and excited about this presidency. But it's good. Maybe the only time I've really ever cared, the first time I voted. Our apartment looks like grown-ups live there. Amen. One more week of vacation before back to school. I pray for money to buy books. This has been a rough week, a spiritual high week followed by a low one. I pray to pray more next week and to get everything done I've been meaning to all winter break. I bet the president-elect isn't getting any sleep tonight. It's hard to imagine someone that famous just sleeping. Thank you for listening. I am honored and grateful. I would love it if you would leave a review on iTunes because it does fancy things with the algorithm and it helps me reach more people. As always, the show notes for this episode can be found at brandyglows.com. If you have any questions or an idea for a future show, you can tweet me at brandyglows or email me at brandyglows@gmail.com.